the left corner to Aguilla. Aguilla to the left circle. Passing to Yell. A shot. Save made by Yell. Aguilla. Rebound. Another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts.
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson.
All right, happy Tuesday and welcome to another hour of Flames Talk. It is Tuesday, April 8th, and we're underway from our Groundworks downtown studio with Wes Gilbertson of Post Media. My name is Pat Steinberg. Flames Talk available wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, and more, and live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. The text line open to you at 960-960 this hour, and hey, we got lots to talk about, and one topic in particular. Hello, Wes. How we doing?
I'm good, buddy. How about yourself?
I'm doing very well. And the Flames survive another day with a dicey 3-2 win over San Jose on Monday night. We'll talk about that later this hour and where things sit in the playoff conversation. But the whole Flames world right now, Wes, is buzzing about Zane Parekh, and for good reason. The most exciting prospect the Flames have in their system and the most exciting prospect they've had in almost a decade since Matthew Tkachuk was drafted. He has been officially recalled from the Ontario League after his season came to an end over the weekend and is going to be with the Flames for the rest of the season. An historic OHL season comes to an end over the weekend in a five-game loss to the Erie Otters for Saginaw. So Zane became available, and as we've been telling you for weeks now here on Flames Talk, as soon as his season came to an end, he was going to join the Flames. And as we've been telling you for the last couple of weeks, and, you know, certainly when it has become a little bit more likely that he was actually going to join the team in the near future, we've been telling you it's no guarantee he's going to play games while the team is still in the playoff conversation, which they are right now. Here's kind of the breakdown. I've you know, provided this breakdown a couple of times, but I'll just kind of reiterate it. And we talked a little bit about it on postgame on Monday following the Sharks win. But here's kind of what I believe to be the case. As the Flames remain in the playoff conversation, and they will be in playoff contention until at least Friday night, the lineup is fully in Ryan Huska's hands with, you know, no kind of push from management to try to get player X or player Y into the lineup. It is fully in Ryan Huska's hands while the Flames are still fighting for a playoff spot. And so they have at least two more games where they will be fighting tooth and nail for a playoff spot and potentially more. And my gut and most guts that I've pulled in this conversation suggest that head coach Ryan Huska going to stick with the lineup that he trusts and stick with the lineup that he believes has gotten them to this point and he feels most comfortable with. If this team falls out of it, then much like we talked about with Idar Suniev, that's when we will see Parekh. If the Flames are out of it, yes, Zane Parekh will play games. And I'm very confident both he and Idar Suniev would get into the NHL lineup, but team isn't interested in falling out of it. The team wants to make the playoffs. The team wants to be in this mix as long as humanly possible. And look, here's where I am, Wes. I'm curious as to where you are on this. But for me, if I had the decision, I'd play him. I would. I think he could help you. I think he could help drive offense. I think he would help your power play. And I think he's a huge part of your future. And I'd put him in. But I do understand, like, I would make that decision, or I say I would make that decision with zero consequences, right? Like, I'm not the head coach. What my decision is and what my opinion is has no bearing on what actually happens.
Right.
So I do get where Ryan Huska is coming from. Like, putting myself, if this is the decision that he decides, and if he goes the other way, what a pleasant surprise that would be. I'm not necessarily expecting it for Wednesday in Anaheim or Friday against Minnesota, but if his decision is to wait until they're out of it before bringing a player like Parekh in, you've got a guy who just turned 19 in February, who has not practiced with the team since September or October.
Right. Who, in his last glimpse of NHL, and I don't say this to poo-poo the excitement about the prospect, mm-hmm. but in the preseason was clearly overwhelmed.
Yeah, and has reportedly made significant strides in his all-round game. But for a team that is predicated on defending, for a team that is predicated on playing a hard-nosed, don't-give-up-much game where offense is not the priority, yeah, I kind of see where the coach would be coming from. I'd put him in. I'd even juggle up the pairings a little bit and put Parekh with Ball or something like that. Like, that's what I would do. I would like to see him as early as Wednesday, but I'm not anticipating that to be the case, and I understand where the head coach is coming from because he's trying to secure the next 2 points. He's trying to keep his team alive and get them as close to Minnesota as humanly possible going into Friday's showdown at the Dome.
And you know who else understands the coach's decision? Zane Parekh.
Yes.
Because I chatted with him. I know you chatted with him, and we're going to hear that in a few minutes. Zane Parekh, the way he put it to me was, yeah, that lineup that Ryan Husk has been going with all year, they've put themselves in the middle of this playoff fight. They've put themselves in this race. And the way he put it to me, and I'm paraphrasing, you can read the exact quotes on the Post Media site, but he said, if it was my decision, I'd do the exact same thing. And so, yeah, that's a 19-year-old who doesn't want to rock the boat. And so I'm sure some people are listening thinking, well, what else would he say?
Right.
But Zane Parekh gets it. Like, I don't want today to be, I shouldn't say I don't want, it doesn't matter, but I don't think that the Flames should be taking criticism today for their game plan with Parekh. They just called a 19-year-old up from the Canadian Hockey League to the NHL. Teams don't do this. We don't see very often kids go straight from the CHL to the NHL. The Flames, I think, deserve credit today for not taking the easy way out, which would be to have them join the Wranglers. They brought them straight to the NHL. Yeah. And if that turns into, I can't believe they're not playing him in Anaheim, I would just pump the brakes a little. I want to address what everybody wants to compare him to, and that's Cale Makar making his debut in the first round of the playoffs in 2019.
Game three against the Flames,
scored on his first career shot on goal. I think it might not be a huge difference when you're comparing a 31-year-old to a 32-year-old, but I think it's important to note Cale Makar was 6 months into his 20th year. He was 20.5 years old. Zane Parekh turned 19 in February. That's why the comparison of the two honestly doesn't hold a whole lot of relevance for me. Yeah, I've explored it in print. We've talked about it lots, but that 14, 15, I think actually 16 months of getting more game experience, putting muscle mass on, that's a huge difference at that point. And that's why I don't think saying, well, the Avalanche did it with Cale Makar. Yeah, I get it. I get it. And Zane Parekh has some of the special qualities that make Cale Makar the special player Cale Makar is. I just, you know, you have an opportunity to get your top prospect around your organization. And I hope that the frustration for some that he's not going to be in the lineup tomorrow in Anaheim doesn't totally outweigh the part about good for the Flames for bringing this kid straight up from junior and putting him around their NHL team.
Yeah, and I mean, look, I've been trying to kind of prepare or prep the waters for it because it's basically been what I've been told all along is that Ryan Huska's lineup until they're mathematically eliminated, and they don't want to be mathematically eliminated. And yeah, I can understand fans wanting to see Suniyev in immediately, and I can understand I even want to see Parekh in immediately. I really do. I would love to see him play on Wednesday, and I think you can make a decent argument that he could help the group. But putting myself in the skates of Ryan Huska and where you are right now and what you've got left in your final five games and what this team is trying to do, to upset the apple cart for a team that's playing their best hockey of the season. Go take a look at the results over the last 10, 11 games. Like, for a team that's fighting for their playoff lives and is trying to complete a miracle and erase the deficit that they have on the Minnesota Wild, like, I get not putting him in. As much as I want to, and I can sit here all day and say I would do it, I can understand why Ryan Huska is like, no, I'm going to go with the group that I'm most comfortable with, the group that I trust, and the group that has gotten us to this point. And you know what? If somebody gets hurt, if there's a nagging injury, well, then you've got a great opportunity. And if they do end up getting eliminated between now and next Thursday, well, then you've got an opportunity to put a really exciting top prospect in and get him some NHL action before the season comes to an end. But I'm kind of with you. I don't think that it needs to be a mass criticism if he doesn't get in before the end of the week.
Once the math makes it clear what their fate is, like if this week doesn't go their way and they're eliminated from playoff contention, then it's a totally different conversation, right? Then there's absolutely no reason to not play Zane Parekh.
And they won't keep him out if they're mathematically eliminated.
But I think, you know, I understand where you're coming from and a lot of people are coming from. I'm just as fascinated. Listen, I've written a whole lot of words about this young man of late, and I'm excited to see how it looks in the NHL as well. I think, you know, one of the things you and I talked about off air yesterday, one of the things that I said was, if the only way to find out if he can help you Friday is to play him Wednesday, the only way to have any, you know, I guess, confidence in putting him in that high stakes game against the Minnesota Wild on Friday would be to maybe dress seven defensemen Wednesday in Anaheim and just see how it looked. And yet, because this is the group that got him here, because they play a game with margins so tight that one mistake is oftentimes the difference between winning and losing hockey games for the Flames, because of the fact that Ryan Huska has leaned more heavily than usual of late on his fourth line, and that sort of throws off the numbers if you're going to look at going 11-7. For those reasons, I do get it, and you, buddy, I know, said the exact same thing.
So, it would be awesome, and it would be a great story, and maybe we still do get that great story, but I wouldn't be buckled up, and we're about to hear from Zane, and the way he spoke this morning, Tuesday morning in Anaheim, and what you're about to hear from him here, yeah, he understands what's going on, he understands the situation, and he's just, I hate the term, he's just happy to be here, but he is just happy to be here and be around the group.
Yeah, and I think he's the kind of kid who will really relish the opportunity to change Ryan Huska's mind in practice. You know, Zane Parekh is going to do everything he can, starting with tomorrow's morning skate. And no, he did not get Sunyevt by the luggage handlers. His equipment has arrived in Anaheim, but starting with tomorrow's morning skate, he's going to try to make a case. Hey, you know, put me in. I can help.
Yeah.
Let's see where it goes.
Had a chance to chat with Zane a little earlier on Tuesday. He is with the group now in Anaheim. The Flames take on the Ducks on Wednesday night. It's an off day Tuesday, and I had a chance to chat with Zane Parekh a little earlier Tuesday. It's already available for you wherever you get your podcasts on the Flames Talk podcast feed. Here's Zane Parekh as he joins the Flames for the rest of the season.
Zane, I know it's been a whirlwind for you the last 24, 48 hours. Just take us through the last few days as the season comes to an end and then a new journey begins. What has this last couple days been like from your standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty bittersweet. You know, I love that group of guys and Saginaw. And, you know, it's obviously tough to leave them, but I'm stepping into a really good opportunity and, you know, kind of a new challenge. And I'm really excited.
You talk about it being bittersweet, and I know you've talked about that part quite a bit. So just like what are the emotions like as you now try to kind of transfer to being a little bit more excited about this new opportunity? Like, does that happen pretty quickly?
Yeah, it did. I mean, I was pretty sad after the game, and I guess you never know if when you play your last game, the junior, but you know, I was pretty sad. And then I kind of got a call from my agents, and you know, I kind of diminished the sadness a bit, but you know, I was pretty excited right away.
So what was it like today getting an opportunity to be around the group? They're coming off a win on Monday night. Just what's it been like today as you've been around?
Yeah. You know, it's kind of a day off for the guys here. So really haven't seen much. I saw Runes this morning, and super friendly, super nice. So, but I'm looking forward to seeing the guys probably tomorrow morning.
Okay. So what's the goal for you here, Zane? Like, is this just an opportunity in your eyes to soak it all in and get a little bit more of an idea what it's like being around the NHL at this stage of the season? What's this what's the goal for you here?
Yeah, just kind of learning and soaking everything in, kind of trying to understand the pro lifestyle and, you know, figure out what it is to be an NHLer. And, you know, I mean, we're staying in a pretty nice hotel. So, it kind of hit me right away. Like, this is like how this is the NHL life here. So, kind of just trying to learn from the guys, watch a lot and kind of try and pick up as much as I can.
Anything specifically that you've got your eye on or you're looking to learn in this opportunity?
You know, I wouldn't say I got that figured out right now, but, you know, when new lessons approach me, I'm, you know, going to try and take as much from each one. So, that's the plan for me right now. And, you know, I'll figure it out as I go, I guess. Yeah.
Well, and I know you said a little earlier today when you spoke with everybody down there in California, you talked about, hey, no real expectations. If you get in, you get in, that's great. But you're not really coming into this opportunity with any set expectations, are you?
No, just trying to learn, see what happens. If I get in, I'll be super grateful. If I don't, I'm still going to be super grateful because I get to learn and watch from a lot of the older guys. And you know, those guys have worked their nails off all year to get here, and you know, I'm really excited for them.
What has the message been, and what has some of the messaging been, maybe whether it's from Craig Conroy or anyone that you've talked to with the organization? Like, has there been a message from the team to you?
Not yet. Just, you know, I think the main one, I mean, I don't want to sound repetitive or give you boring answers, but, you know, just try and learn every day and, you know, kind of create some more friendships with these guys and get to know them and, you know, just see what it's like to be an NHLer.
If it turns out that you don't get in and with this group in a playoff push and this group fighting for their lives every game and they decide to kind of stick with the group that's gotten them there, like, you understand that. That's perfectly understood coming into this, right?
Yeah, no, that's more than understood. I mean, those 20 guys that go on the ice every night have worked so hard to kind of be in this race here and fight for that last playoff spot. So, you know, I wouldn't say I'm much deserving of kind of getting in that lineup or any of that, but, you know, those guys deserve it. And, you know, I'm really kind of cheering for them and kind of hoping that, you know, I get to see some playoff hockey here.
I know you were asked this morning, like you haven't even begun to wrap your head around what maybe getting that first NHL game might look like. Like, it's way too early for that. Would that be fair?
Yeah. No, I guess I haven't thought about it too much. I mean, you know, every kid wants to play in their first NHL game. And, you know, I've kind of thought about it my whole life. But I wouldn't say over these last couple of days I've been kind of preparing for that or kind of thinking about that. And I'm just coming here trying to, you know, enjoy my time.
Yeah, we're chatting with Zane Parekh of the Flames. How much have you been following the group? I mean, you were in the stretch drive the last time we spoke to you, and then you've been in the postseason the last couple of weeks. While you had your season going on in Saginaw, how much were you keeping tabs on the Flames?
I mean, I was checking the standings probably after every game, but I would try and catch a lot of the 7 o'clock games, or I mean, the 10 o'clock games are harder for me to watch just because that's usually my bedtime there. So,
yeah.
Whenever I got a chance to kind of watch and they're on the East Coast, I would. But I wouldn't say I watch every game, but I kind of caught last night's game and that was a good come from behind win.
Zane, whether it be on the ice or off the ice and kind of your mental approach to things, how are you a different guy? How are you a different player on April 8th than you were in mid-September in your first NHL training camp? Like, what have the last 6, 7, 8 months, what type of growth have we seen in Zane Parekh, the player and the guy?
Yeah, I think, as a leader, I've matured a lot, and I stepped into a different role this year in Saginaw, and I was kind of more relied on and one of the kind of veterans there. So, I thought as a leader, I've grown a lot, and, as a person too, I thought I've taken steps in that same leadership spot, but, as a person, I feel, I've matured a lot and grown a lot there too. And, as a player, I think, kind of maturing my game and being better away from the puck was a really big focus this year, while also kind of continuing to do and take that stuff with the puck to another level. I think I would say I kind of checked that off this year. I wouldn't say I'm perfect, but and no one is, but I'm just trying to get better every day and learn as I go.
You had that incredible season and the numbers were off the charts, but There was also some, significant stretches of adversity for you throughout the year, different times. How is that adversity and some of those challenges, how have those things made you better?
I think you just kind of, take it with, or use that as adversity as motivation. I think that was kind of the best way to look at it and, the best way to use it. So as much as, people don't want to face adversity in life. I mean, if there was none, there wouldn't be any growth or development. So,
yeah.
A lot of times it's a really good thing.
Two more for you. First of all, now you're with an NHL club. You're going to be with this group for the next little while. Maybe you get into a game. Maybe you don't get into a game. That remains to be seen. But how ready do you feel, and how ready do you feel your game is for this opportunity?
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I think you got to get in there to find out. I mean, junior is a whole nother beast. And when you're going from junior to the NHL, it's a really big step. So, I think my game is where it needs to be in terms of, where I was at the start of the year to now. I mean, I've taken a lot of steps and, I guess we're going to have to find out here.
Yeah. Last one. Has it even started to sink in, begun to sink in, or is your head still swimming from the last 24, 48 hours?
No, it's starting to sink in. It's starting to hit me. And I'm really enjoying it. It was, it's been a pretty cool experience, even though it's only been, about 24, 48 hours, but, I feel like a little kid out here, to be honest, and I'm really enjoying it.
Well, Zane, keep enjoying it, man. We'll see you back here in Calgary later on this week, but enjoy the next couple of days in California. Congratulations on the recall, and thanks for doing this today, hey?
No worries. Thank you for having me. I'll talk to you soon, Pat.
Zane Parekh is with the Flames after being recalled from the Saginaw Spirit in the Ontario Hockey League. I like the... Yeah, I'm in a pretty nice hotel. It kind of hit me. You walk into a JW Marriott or a Ritz-Carlton or a Four Seasons, you're like, yeah, this will do. Yeah, it's a little bit better than the...
This might not be where the Spirits stay.
Yeah. I'm not going to take a shot at any other accommodations. But, you know, those are three of the places that NHL teams like to stay, those high-end marquee spots, and that's where they are in SoCal. So let's read a few texts, 960, 960. Got a bunch of them. See how many we can get through. This reads, sitting Parekh until the Flames are mathematically eliminated might make some sense if this were a top five scoring team just looking to tighten up defensively, but this is a bottom three offense being gifted an elite offensive talent who put up historic junior numbers. Yes, Parekh might cost you a goal or two over the final five games, but can you really say it would be significantly worse than what we're getting from Bean, Miramanov, or even Anderson lately? On the flip side, he could easily generate more offense than anyone else on the blue line to offset it. Teams like the Blues and Capitals are giving key minutes to top prospects in playoff chases. Meanwhile, the lowest scoring team in the league won't play a top 10 pick with elite offensive tools for Jake Bean. What's the logic in delaying his NHL experience when he could actually help right now and not just the long term? Any rebuttal on that?
I think that's more the rebuttal to what we talked about for the first 15 minutes. And hey, listen, I get it. Everyone wants to see him. You know, the one thing I would say is we're talking about a defenseman who turned 19 2 months ago, whose question marks have been his work in the defensive zone. I want to see him as much as anybody. I understand why the Flames are approaching this the way they are. Listen, I didn't see all the games, so I'm not. Maybe I shouldn't even say this because it infers something that I don't know whether it's true or not, but Zane Parekh was just minus five in an OHL playoff series. And so to say, well, bomb him in and it can't be any worse than these guys who've played 500 NHL games, I think we need to pump the brakes a little bit on that expectation.
Play Zane. The vets have made mistakes too. Give the kid a chance. This says go 11-7 and spot duty Parekh. Peter in Calgary says, Pat, I agree with you 100%. The reason the team is not focused on offense is they don't have any offensive skill. This says he has to be better than Bean. Even Anderson has been. He's been hard to watch the last few months. This says play him as a forward and scratch Yegor. Yeah, that's the way to get him to succeed. Play him in a non. Yeah. You know what? In your first NHL game, we really want to get you to succeed. Let's play you at play him. In, you know what? Scratch Dustin Wolf and put Parekh in net. You know, might as well.
Yeah, but I. You know what? Actually, Pat, I disagree. Backup goalie, I think.
Backup
would be
goalie.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to scratch Wolf. Good point.
Yeah.
Sorry,
and again,
out.
Like this, I think it's important to point out sort of how unique this conversation is. Like, we haven't talked about a kid coming straight from junior to the Calgary Flames in mid-season since Sven Berchi in what year was that? 13?
2013?
Yeah, like we don't have 2012? This conversation very often, and it takes an exceptional prospect for them to even consider it. Yep. I want to see Zane Parekh play. If it's Sunday or Tuesday rather than Wednesday, though, I get it. I really do get it.
Matt in Calgary says, rookie NHL defensemen are like rookie NFL quarterbacks. A rare guy is ready out of the gate, but many need more seasoning. Playing these guys too soon often does something bad to them. I'd like to see him watch the next few games with the Flames and get into practices, but they shouldn't rush him. This says, I'm less focused on age and more on experience. That being said, because Parekh's coming from the CHL and not college, I'm assuming Parekh has played more games than compared to when Makar played his first game. Probably. This says, I think it's a great idea to call him up. Nice diversion from media, etc., and takes a little focus off of other players and the playoff drive. Also gives him the experience of what this time of year is like. This says, I thought the goal is to develop young players. You can't tell me Zane isn't better than the bottom pair D-men the Flames have right now. Heck, they'd be 8 on a cup contender. This says, you guys can talk yourselves into anything. Best hockey all season. They can't score. Put in someone who might be able to regulate his ice time. Need be God. That comes from John.
What? Hang on a second. What's the best hockey all season part?
That's what I said earlier, that they're playing their best hockey of the season, which I think is fair.
Huh.
How dare I suggest that?
Maybe not those first couple periods in San Jose last night, but
yeah, very fair.
Scratched out a victory.
Well, at least results-wise, they're playing their best hockey this season. That's kind of more what
fair.
I meant. This says, I agree, Pat. Put him in. They're playing with a three third-pairing D-men on this team. If he makes a mistake, it's not costing this team a playoff spot. The record the previous 76 games did that. Nothing but upside to play him. This says, do you guys think, since he has offensive upside, this may actually help since they need it, even if you sit Bean or upset the room, etc. That comes from Jesse and Blackie. And this finally says, I'd be more upset if they did play against Anaheim. This team can't experiment with roster moves of bringing in a 19-year-old kid to play the equivalent of playoff hockey. If eliminated, sure, let's see what he can do. But he's only 6 months removed from looking pretty underwater during exhibition games. If they do make the playoffs and they're down three games to some, sure, let's give him that game four elimination game experience.
I only want to remind everybody of one thing. Jake Bean is left-handed.
Yeah, he's not the guy who would be coming out.
I don't think so. And yes, one of Mackenzie Weegar's greatest attributes is his ability to play either side. And yet we know that Ryan Huska's most trusted defense pairing of late is Joel Hanley on the left and Mackenzie Weegar on the right. And so to debut a 19-year-old defenseman who weighs 186 pounds in a must-win game, potentially on his offside or alongside Braden Pahal as he tries to play his offside, which is not an experiment that's gone very well in the past. I can't stress enough that I understand the excitement, and yet I don't think it hurts to wait a couple days.
Lots of Zane Parekh talk still to come over the rest of the week. It's Pat Steinberg, Wes Gilbertson along with you. This hour of Flames talk is underway. It's brought to you by, but we're coming at you from our Groundworks downtown studio. And that is brought to you by Groundworks, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.
This is Flames Talk.
Next up, Daily Flames Roundtable. We'll shift the focus to last night in San Jose and what we saw as the Flames stayed alive with a 3-2 win over the Sharks. Stay with us. It's Flames Talk on a Tuesday on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Anything and everything Calgary Flames. It's all on Flames Talk. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
So the first hour, first half of this hour focused on Zane Parekh, what comes next, and how that situation is going to play out. Plenty of response on the text line. Only scratched the surface of what we got in at 960-960. Keep the text coming on this Tuesday edition of the program. Now, let's focus our attention to what we saw on the ice Monday night and the final five games of the regular season. It's Pat Steinberg, Wes Gilbertson along with you, and now the Daily Flames Roundtable brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. The fastest-growing segment of vehicles they sell is electric. Informed buyers are coming to see. Perhaps you should discover why minutes from the Calgary Airport. To join now by Derek Wills as well to complete our Daily Flames Roundtable on this Tuesday. The Flames pull it out of the fire on Monday to keep their playoff push alive. They take a 3-2 win over the San Jose Sharks at SAP Center on Monday night. We'll kind of go on both sides of this conversation and start on the positive. Gents, what did we like about the win over San Jose?
The win. I mean, honestly, that was a tough game to watch, a tough game to call for more than two periods. And I expected the Flames to, you know, come out flying, to play with urgency. I think we all believe that their season was on the line, that they had to win that game, that they have to win tomorrow's game against the Ducks. So I was surprised. I didn't like the start. And then the Flames had, I don't know, two or three good shifts after that, but they had an opportunity to score and couldn't put the puck past Georgi Romanov. And then it completely turned in the Sharks' direction. I thought the Sharks were by far the better of the two teams for more than 40 minutes last night. And the Flames, thanks to Dustin Wolf, were able to hang around on that hockey game and, you know, keep it close. And then I liked how they responded to the Martin Pospisil injury. So Pospisil, I thought, was one of the most effective players for the Flames last night before he got hurt. He leaves. So now they need a new winger for that number one line with Nazem Kadri and Jonathan Huberdeau. And Adam Klapka, who, quite frankly, and I said it right before he went onto that line and wound up scoring the 1-1 goal, I didn't think he had a great night. But must have energized him because he goes hard to the net, gets rewarded for it. And then I liked how the Flames played after that. So didn't like most of the game last night. Ultimately, though, it's business where results are what matter, and they needed 2 points, and they found a way to get them, to their credit.
Yeah, I remember, Pat, you saying maybe about a week and a half ago that you're kind of past the point of critiquing victories. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not to put words in your mouth, but essentially what you were saying is...
I said the same thing on Monday night as well.
We've reached the point in the season where the end result is really all that matters. And so that was the most likable thing about a dull, and for a lot of the night, fairly dreadful performance. It was a concerning response against a opponent that you just had to beat. And yet they ultimately get out of there with the 2 points. I'll tell you, beyond some of the stuff that Wilsey mentioned, what I probably liked the most, and that was who ultimately helped pull it out of the fire for them. It was Dustin Wolf again, just another really strong performance from the rookie goaltender. He gave his team a chance, and it's so cliche, but we hear it and say it all the time. He gave his team a chance to hang around when maybe they didn't deserve to. But then I also like the fact that it was the least experienced player in the lineup, in Adam Klapka, who ultimately left his fingerprints on that game. He scores, converts the sort of rebound pass from Nazem Kadri on the 2-on-1, draws a penalty on his next shift. So I like the fact that the least experienced guy in your lineup was one of the guys who came through when you absolutely needed him. I like the fact, and I still don't know what that San Jose Shark was doing, but I like the fact that the youngest guy in your lineup came through with another big goal in Matt Coronato. And then you add in Dustin Wolf. Like, the guys who are clearly the future were the guys who figured out how to salvage 2 points last night in San Jose. And on what was a fairly smelly night in a lot of regards, I think that's what I liked the most.
Yeah, I really liked Dustin Wolf again, and he is proving the coaching staff right that at this time of year, guys, turning to Dustin and having him carry the mail consistently is the right call. That was his fourth consecutive start. I would fully expect him to go against Anaheim on Wednesday night to make it 5 in a row. He has put together some spectacular nights that start against Anaheim, huge, and allowed the Flames to win that one and kind of find their game in the final 40 minutes. He was great against Vegas and was, 95% of the reason why the Flames were able to earn a point in that game. And yeah, it was 1-0 San Jose, but in the first 40 minutes of play, the way Celebrini was going, the way Smith was going, it could have been a far more lopsided score. Like, we could have been talking about a 2 or 3 goal Sharks lead easily with the quality opportunities that they were able to generate. And Dustin Wolf in his old stomping grounds was the one guy that was battling hard from start to finish. And that's not trying to suggest that, like, they weren't battling hard or they weren't trying, but he was the guy that had his level of game where it needed to be for all 60 minutes. So Wolf would be the number one thing because, he continues to prove that. It was only a few days ago, guys, that we wondered if Dan Vladar should start that last home game against the Anaheim Ducks or the home game Thursday against the Ducks. And they went with Wolf, and they've gone with Wolf ever since. And I don't think it would surprise anybody if they just kept on rolling number 32. And I did like to wrap up this part of the conversation, at least on my end, Wilsey. I did like that once they had the lead, they managed it quite well. I know the Sharks found one in the final 2 minutes on the power play on the ricochet off the end board. But, generally the Flames and especially once Smith had scored again to make it 3-2, there really wasn't much that San Jose was able to generate. So I didn't love them for 40 plus minutes. In fact, I thought they were quite bad for 40 plus minutes. But sometimes all you need is 15 good minutes against the 32nd overall team. Flames were able to find that. And once they had the lead, they, I thought, managed it quite well and made sure that the 2 points weren't going to slip away then.
Yeah, I mean, Dustin Wolf gave them a chance because they deserve to be behind by more than one goal through two periods, in my opinion. And it was less for me about what the Sharks were doing, and it was more for me about what the Flames weren't doing. They weren't playing with urgency. They weren't playing with pace. They seemed completely disconnected. Passes were tough to make. And, guys, I don't know what led to that. I don't know if that's fatigue, mental fatigue, physical fatigue. Yesterday on the roundtable, I talked about how the vibe changed for me from when we took off from Calgary and then to when we landed in San Jose with nothing happening as far as the Flames were concerned during that plane ride. But on the Alberta Four Dealers out-of-town scoreboard, the Wild upset the Stars. And, you know, I thought that game would probably go the other way. And instead of the Flames being 4 points back, they were 6 points back again. So maybe that had something to do with it. Maybe it didn't. The other thing that I liked about last name, I guess this is more of a bittersweet thing, but some of the guys who have been struggling this year are starting to find their games. I think Igor Sharangovich is playing better, Morgan Frost, Joel Farabee. So that's been a positive development for me. But on the flip side of that, I think a number of top players for the team have slipped a little bit. And I'm not going to name names because it's not just one or two guys, but you know, guys that the team has leaned really heavily on this season don't have their A game right now. So if the Flames are going to continue to push for a playoff spot, those guys who have been so important to the team all season, they're going to have to find it again, and probably they're going to have to do it against the Ducks on Wednesday.
It's probably not a bad thing in that regard. Is it, Wilsey, that Jonathan Huberdeau gets credit for that power play goal that was so key, you know, at that point, the go-ahead goal to break a 1-1 tie? I know you didn't name names, but I would assume Jonathan Huberdeau is one of the guys that were talking about who probably hasn't had his best stuff of late, and you wonder if that goal might get him going a bit.
Yeah, well, cat's out of the bag, Wes. He is definitely on that list and probably at the top of the list. And again, Jonathan Huberdeau has had a great season. When you look at his body of work this year, this is by far the best hockey he's played as a member of the Flames. He will tell you this is the best he's been as a 200-foot player in his NHL career, and I guess you could argue that because he did have 115 points in his final season with the Panthers, and you know, those numbers are important, but he's better without the puck. He's better defensively. He's more physically engaged than he's ever been before, so he's done a lot of great things for the Flames this season, but in my opinion, it's been a tough 5 or 6 game stretch for him. I don't know if it's fatigue because he's played a lot of minutes and the team has leaned really heavily on him. He's been a little less direct in his play. One of the things he's done a good job with this year is going to his opponent's net. Almost every single one of the 28 goals that he scored was from right around the net. So hopefully he can find it again. And I think it's one of the reasons they probably reunited him and Kadri.
It is our Daily Flames Roundtable on this Tuesday edition of Flames Talk. Derek Wills, Wes Gilbertson. My name is Pat Steinberg. So on the other side, gents, you take a look back, and I mean, Calgary's ability to win games when they're down or scratch points out when they're down is admirable for sure. But I think in recent memory over the last couple of weeks, not a very good first 40 minutes plus against San Jose. Not a very good 40 minutes at all against Vegas. The first 40 minutes against Colorado, the first 40 minutes against Utah. You know, we're talking about a team that has on a lot of occasions here put themselves behind the eight ball and needed to have incredible third periods. And that's not always going to be the case. As much belief and as much resilience that exists with this team, sometimes when they have bad starts, it's going to eventually burn them and they're not going to be able to find a way. So guys, how concerning is this trend here at the most important time of year of the Flames not starting on time and needing to pull out these very impressive and important comebacks?
I mean, the truth is, it's incredibly concerning for me. Remember back in 2014, 2015, when we kept saying, I think all of us said it, and probably sounded like a broken record, this is not sustainable. It turned out to be sustainable that season. But that was such a strange year with, you know, all of those crazy come-from-behind victories the Flames had, pulling their goaltender once, sometimes twice, and scoring one or two goals to tire to win games. That is not a recipe for success in the NHL. So the fact that they've been able to get away with it for the most part of late is surprising for me. The fact that they've put themselves in a position to have to battle back in the third period, At least they have the ability to do it and the belief that they can do it. Their 9 period comeback wins are second most in the NHL. Only the Canadians have more with 10. And they built belief probably prior to game 1 of the season, but certainly built belief in that come-from-behind victory over the Canucks when they trailed 4-1 following the first and won 6-5 in overtime. And there have been a lot of exciting wins like that along the way. But the margin for error is next to non-existent at this point. So I wouldn't be as concerned if it was earlier in the season and there was more runway. But guys, you do not want your season, for all intents and purposes, to come to an end because you weren't ready to play for 50 minutes against the worst team in the league for the second straight season. And that was a very viable scenario last night. Now, the Flames found a way. I give them a ton of credit for that. Once they scored, they were a lot better team. But I'm not sure they get away with that against the Ducks. I definitely don't think they get away with that against the Wild, if that's a meaningful game on Friday night. So it's concerning, guys. They're going to have to find a way, and it sounds very cliche to play a full 60 minutes, but I think they're going to have to play a lot closer to a full 60 minutes in their final 5 games here if they're going to give themselves a chance.
Yeah, the reality is there's probably only one or two teams in the National Hockey League that you could have beaten with that performance last night.
Yep.
And you happen to get one of them in the dead last San Jose Sharks. 50 points so far this season, and I think we saw why last night. And yet, you know, if you're the Flames, you have to walk off the ice last night at SAP Center and know you're certainly not beating any sort of playoff caliber team with that type of performance. And I agree with you, Willsie. I don't think you beat the Anaheim Ducks with that performance. I mean, you had to absolutely scrape and claw in the third period to beat a last place team playing a goaltender with what, four or five games of experience?
Yep.
Like that, you got...
Who had never won in the league.
Yeah, you got the right recipe for a total turd of a performance. It's just, it's scary, I'm sure, for Ryan Huska and for Craig Conroy and for everyone involved that this has become a bit of a trend in these games that should be so easy to get up for. It looks like you've been maybe feeling the heat a little bit early on, and in last night's case, not just early, like right into the third period.
Yeah, it's definitely concerning because, you know, the next 5 games mean something too. Like the Flames are guaranteed 2 more meaningful games, if not more. Eventually, if they come out the way they did the last few games, like they're going to get punched in the mouth. Like Dustin Wolf is not always going to be able to have such spectacular nights that he keeps you in it, and credit to him. What he did against Vegas, what he did against San Jose, clear first star performance, and he was named the first star in both games, and rightfully so, because I think in both games he was the best player on the ice surface. And that is great, and you love having a guy like that, but like, stop. I love that the Flames have this incredible resilience and belief. I think it's a great attribute to have. I love that Dustin Wolf is able to be as consistently strong as he's been this year, but maybe like rely on those things a little bit less than you have. Maybe reach deep into those reserves less in your final 5 games. And who knows how that game against Minnesota is going to go, because the Wild are a good team too. But against Anaheim, like, don't put yourself in a spot where you can have a dagger delivered to your season by a team that's going to miss the playoffs. And you do that by not having a poor start. You do that by showing up on time and not having to pull one out of the fire against, on Monday, the 32nd overall team in the NHL. They should never have had to do that. Now, going back to the very beginning, the 2 points is still all that matters. I'm not critiquing the wins the same way, or I'm critiquing the wins a whole lot less than I would have been even a month ago. And I'm also looking at moral victories and losses a whole lot less than I would have, because all that matters is the 2 points, and all that matters is them getting the right results. And they still probably have to win 80 to 100% of their games between now and the end of the season to make the playoffs. And so that's still the most important part. But start on time gives you a much better chance of doing that.
Oh, absolutely. And ultimately, they found a way last night. And listen, there have been a number of games and quite a few games of late where the Flames deserved better than what they got. I mean, at the top of the list for me would be that game against the Stars when they had 48 shots and 107 attempts and 25 high-danger scoring chances and some way, somehow lost 5-2. So there have been some games. There have been some calls. There have been pucks not quite far enough across the goal line where things haven't gone their way. So maybe karma came into play last night because they were not the better of the two teams when you look at the 60 minutes that were played, and they found a way to win that hockey game. So I just think with some tougher competition coming up, they're going to have to play, and I know it sounds cliche, but way closer to a full 60 minutes. The Ducks, for me, are a much more dangerous team than the Sharks from the goaltenders out. And then certainly the Wild will be as desperate as the Flames, and they've got a good team even without Kaprizov. And then you get into some really tough games. Yeah, you got one more against the Sharks. Obviously, you have to win that one. We don't know how much those games are going to mean to the Golden Knights and to the Kings, but two very good teams. So, yeah, the Flames, they're going to have to find another gear. And for me, it starts with their top guys. And not all of them, because, I mean, Nazem Kadri found a way to have a huge impact on that game last night, and he's been incredibly consistent. But there are a handful of guys who are going to have to get back to where we know they can be, and in most cases where they've been for most of the season. And I guess it's a matter of finding a second or a third win at this point, guys. Yep.
77 down, 5 to go. We'll talk to you on Wednesday, Willsy. Thank you, pal.
Bye, guys.
That is Derek Wills. That'll wrap us up on our Daily Flames Roundtable. Derek Wills, Wes Gilbertson, Pat Steinberg along with you as we start to wrap things up this hour. Thanks to Cam Hughes, our outstanding producer this hour, and the Daily Flames Roundtable brought to you, as always, by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. The fastest-growing segment of vehicles they sell is electric. Informed buyers are coming to see. Perhaps you should discover why. Minutes from the Calgary Airport.